Morning, everybody. It's great to be in the church today. It's great to have Pastor Ken and Kay back in our fellowship. We miss them a lot, and it's just great to be here. We've been away for a few days, the opposite of what Pastor Ken was in the heat. We were in the cold. We had that much snow, and I think on the way we got about a foot, and then while we were there, we got a foot, and they're supposed to get a foot of snow this week. So just kind of the opposite. We were keeping warm. It wasn't super cold, but we had a great time in the snow, and while I was there, I had a message all prepared, but I really felt this message come on as I was spending time on my snowmobile. In the woods, the Lord, you know, can speak to you. Sometimes when you block everything out and it's just you and him, you can't communicate with anybody else. And so I want to speak a message today on staying on track. I got a little video we're going to show. That was a picture in the woods. But there's just a short video. And I was holding the GoPro in my hand because I couldn't get it to stick on my helmet. But everybody's sticking on track, and the snow's coming down, and we're following the trail, and we're going to talk about staying on track this morning. And, you know, a lot of things happen when you're in this environment. It's not a, how do I want to say it, straightforward thing. And, you know, there's lots of things along the trail that throws you off track. How many people know that? There's lots of things in our life that throw us off track. You know, and I was just thinking about some of these things as I was going down the trail, and I was thinking, well, now we're into a blizzard, and we're getting like a foot of snow, and it got to the point where you couldn't even see in front of your face hardly, 20, 30 feet. So you're just kind of watching the ski tracks in front of you to keep on track. And how many people know that in our life, there are storms that just kind of blow in and they can throw us off track. And there's bumps that we can hit along the trail that you don't see that blend right in with the snow. And you hit that bump and it throws you off track. You know, there's lots of things that can throw us off track. And I was thinking of all these things, you know, as I was going down the trail, I was thinking about like some of the washouts, and there was, you know, you crossing bridges and all these things that you could have accidents, and some of us were upsetting our snowmobiles, and, you know, like the saying is, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, what happens in the East Coast on the trail stays there. But there was upsets, and there was a few little minor crashes, but when there's snow, it's not quite as bad. You just fall off and then help everybody out. People get divided on the trails. I was thinking about that. You know, you're going down the trail and you lose the people that are with you, and somebody goes this way and somebody goes that way, and then you don't know where they are. And Kathy did that. Not naming any names, but she's not here in this service. In the first, she was. She did fantastic. I'm telling you, my daughter-in-law, the Spanish redneck snowmobile girl, she did fantastic, just like she grew up doing it. But, yeah, she missed a trail and just kept right on going. And we were all stopped because we were going into the sugar bush to have lunch, and she just wasn't paying attention and just gone. And then so Joel's trying to find her. We're wondering where she went to, whether the crows got her or what. But, you know, a lot of things throw us off. And as we were driving, too, I was thinking, we've seen all this bear scat. Do you know what I mean by bear scat? Bear droppings. We've seen all kinds of moose droppings on the trail. And I was thinking, wow, what happens if we're going around and one of those jumps out at us? Apparently, two guys the week before had hit moose. And we were going at night. And if you're driving at night in the woods, like, of course, I got the one that had to go first. I guess because I was the oldest, they figured if I died, it wouldn't really matter. They all want to live for a while longer. So I was driving in the front, you know, watching for the animals. But I was, you know, that's how it is. Things can just jump out at us in any minute. The enemy can just jump out and throw us off track and cause havoc. You know, even I stopped for a minute to use the washroom in the woods and got off my sled, and I looked down, and there was these big paw tracks of a cougar tracks like that. And I was thinking, oh, wow, I'm getting back on the snowmobile. I'm getting out of here. You know, but there's things, there's obstacles, there's all kinds of things that will throw us off track in life. And, you know, the enemy can use things to just throw us off track because we're under attack. You know, we're living this world, and the enemy would like to throw us off track. He doesn't want us to meet our target. He doesn't want us to make it to heaven. He doesn't want us to be a victorious Christian. He doesn't want the very best for you. He wants to pull you down. He wants to throw you off track. And so it's very important that we remain on the track to Jesus. So saying that, I want to read a couple scriptures to start out with. In Peter, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. New Living says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's looking for us. He knows who we are. Just how, like Jesus knows who we are, he knows who we are. So be alert, it says. It says, finally, brethren, in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand, to stay on the trail, to stay on track. And the start of the next verse says, stand therefore, stay on track. We want to stay on track. So my message today is just simply, let's stay on track. Let's not let the enemy come against us and push us off our course. You know, the first mention of people going off course is in Genesis. And so I just want to read something from Genesis 3:1-7. The serpent who was shrewd, the shrewdest of all the wild animals of the Lord God had made, one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any tree in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, the woman replied. See, the first thing is the enemy starts to try to manipulate with us. He starts to try to deceive us. He starts to try to play some games with our head and our mind. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat or even touch. If you do, you will die. So then the enemy says, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. How many times when we start to get off track, we know that's something we shouldn't be doing, or we know we're heading down a track we shouldn't go, and the enemy says, ah, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. You're not really going to. He challenges the word of God. You ever notice that? The enemy challenges God's word. God knows your eyes will be opened, the devil says, as soon as you eat, and you will be like God, both knowing good and evil. The woman was convinced, so she saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. The enemy makes things look good for us. He always makes sin look great, and he never makes it look bad. If it was bad, we probably wouldn't eat it, or we wouldn't do it. But he makes things look good to the natural man, to our flesh part. So she saw the tree was beautiful and the fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her and ate it too. How many times when we enter into sin do we drag somebody else with us? It's very common. It's interesting, this whole passage, how that works. At that moment, their eyes were opened and suddenly felt ashamed and naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves. So this is the first experience of mankind getting off track. We've always got off track in our life. We've done all kinds of things that have got us off track. But this is the first time in history that people have got off track. And you know, it's interesting to see that the enemy is, he's a deceiver. And he's the most cunning, the Bible says. The most smooth of all the animals that were created. The Bible says that. And he deceived Adam and Eve. Now, you got to picture this too. Adam and Eve were living in paradise, in one of the greatest places in the world. That's where we all want to live, is in paradise, is in that place. They were in communion with God. They were in a great place, in a fellowship with him. But what happened? The enemy come in and totally deceived them. When I think of that, it blows my mind. You know, I'm in the perfect place with God. I'm in the perfect place in the garden. I'm in the perfect place in the world. And the enemy came in and deceived them. Told them, you know, got them, told them a lie and deceived them. We're not immune from the deception of the enemy. He wants to deceive us. He wants to use things in our life that would divide us and that would divide us in division. But I thought about being deceived. Now, how many people, has anybody here ever been deceived in life? And you can't say, I married somebody and I was deceived after I got married. No, but we've all been deceived in some situation. I can remember when I was a teenager, I bought this car. And, you know, I thought it was the coolest car in the world. And I didn't realize, the guy didn't tell me that it burnt oil. A lot of oil. Like so much that if I drove 30 kilometers, I had to put a liter of oil in. And the warranty was 50 feet or 50 seconds. You heard that one? Or curb and gutter. You get her to the curb, you got her. That was the warranty. And I felt so deceived. You know, I'd pull into a gas station and they'd want to put the gas in. Back then, everybody pumped gas for you in the service stations. And I would say, nah, the gas is okay. Just top up the oil. Top up the oil. But I felt so deceived, so taken advantage of. We've all been there in our lives. But you see, imagine how Adam and Eve felt. They were totally deceived. They went from paradise to communion with God to falling. And all the plagues and all the bad things now they had to deal with in their life. You know, if God is not strong in your life, the deceiver can come in and deceive you in areas. I think it's very good for us to keep close to God, as close to his ear as possible. Because, you know, the Bible says that wolves will come in sheep's clothes. The deceiver will come in and try to snatch and try to destroy. Guard your heart. The roaring lion is seeking whom he may devour. We don't want to be devoured. See, I just want to expose him a little bit before we move on with this message about keeping on track. Because we're in a war. We're in warfare. We might not want to think that, but we are. The enemy, the devil, is vying for your life. He's vying for your soul. He's vying for your family. He's vying for your finances. He's vying for your health. We're under attack. So we need to be conscious of this all the time. We need to be very vigilant. We need to be strong in the Lord, the Bible says, and in his might. But be aware that the enemy is seeking to whom he may devour. You know, the enemy will take us at our weak places. He always hits us where we're weak, not where we're strong. Okay, he knows everybody's weakness is different. We all have a weakness. And so he'll target in on that weakness and try to bring you down. He knows us. Just like God knows us, he knows our weaknesses. He's not as powerful as God. God is all powerful. Don't let me say that. And don't think this morning that you don't have power to overcome the enemy, because we do have power to overcome the enemy. But I think we need to be aware of how he works. If he can deceive us, if he can lie to us, if he can separate us. The Bible says in Mark, if a house is divided against itself, the house can't stand. You know, like if we allow a division to come into our life, you know, like if we allow it to come in with our wife or our husband, you know, you say something that, you know, oh, you know, I'm not going to make a bad comment to my wife because she doesn't do anything bad. But if I do, you know, we can develop a mindset that, oh, well, she doesn't love me because she said this. She doesn't care for me. You see, the enemy can just do little things. She slammed the door and left. Well, maybe there was some reason why she slammed the door. Maybe she wasn't mad at me. Maybe she was upset with something else. But that can begin a division in your marriage. God wants to separate or keep us together. He wants us to be unified where the devil wants us to be separated. He wants to separate you from your marriage. He wants to separate you from your kids. He wants to have separation in your jobs, your finances. He wants separation in the church. He wants to have one against another and another against another. We need to be aware of the devices, that Satan is a divider. We're exposing him today. He's a divider. So resist the devil, the Bible says. Another thing the devil does is he's an accuser. Do you ever notice that? And the Bible says that. He's an accuser in Revelations. But he'll accuse you. He'll say, oh, God couldn't forgive you of your past. You know, you had six, you know, women in your life, and you did this, and you might have robbed somebody, and you might have, you know, all these maybe evil things you got involved in. And he'll accuse you. He'll say you're not good enough to be a Christian. You hated people. You used this person wrong. But you see, that's what the enemy does. He wants to accuse you. He wants to say you're not smart enough. He wants to say, oh, nobody loves you. He wants you to feel not loved and cared for. He uses all these things against us to get us off track. But how many know that the Bible says there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit? You see, we're free from that. God, when he comes in, he puts the blood on us, and we're free of those things. The accuser. Don't allow the devil today to accuse and say you're not good enough and you can't do this and you can't do that. Resist the accuser. You know, when division comes into your place, I'm going to read another scripture. It says, avoid my title was Avoid Divisive People. And in Romans it says, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. And I was thinking about division and divisiveness. And, you know, I was thinking about even when I played hockey. You know, at one time I did play a lot of hockey. I probably don't look it, but I did. It kind of happens later in life. You grow something. Cost a lot of money to put it on. But you know, I can remember playing hockey too, and you had these guys that were puck hogs, or you had the guys that would, you know, just sit at the blue line and want you to pass them. They weren't a team player. They wanted to do things their own way, on their own. And, you know, we need to avoid people that are divisive. We need to not allow that spirit to come on us. You'll see people that, they're friends with this person, and then they're not friends with that person. Now they're friends with this person. Now they're not friends with them, and they're friends with this person. They're constantly causing a division between people. And you know what? That spirit can be transferred onto us. And you know what? I want to surround myself with people that are positive, people that are speaking God's word, people that aren't speaking negative things upon people or places. You see, the enemy can use those things. You know, that spirit of division can come on you, and before you know it, it can creep in your marriage or it can creep in your job. It's very important for us to guard against that. Keeping on track. You know, like the enemy can use distractions to distract us from serving him, to get off track. You know, when we were snowmobiling, Hannah was driving, and I scooted up beside her, and I tried to get her attention. And so she looked over to try to hear what I was saying, and she cut off a marker stake that was about this high. Now, it was just small. It didn't hurt or anything. But she got distracted, and it threw her off the trail. How many times do we get distracted from things in our life? I'm the only one here. Things will come along in our life. Sometimes it's daily. Sometimes it's multiple times a day. And then maybe you get lucky and you go a week and there's no distractions. But distractions throw us off. Little glitches here, little glitches there, little bumps along the way, like I said on the snowmobile. Don't allow things to distract you. Don't let your time distract you. Sometimes we can consume all of our time in doing our things that we get too far away from the voice of God, and we get distracted by all the things in the world, all the things in our life that we can't hear what God's saying to us. Keeping close to Him. Keeping close to Him. Now, the good news is, because we've talked about some bad news, but God has given us power to overcome the enemy. We don't have to live like that. We don't have to live off the track. When we were snowmobiling, most of them all went off track, except myself. I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody here before the Lord, but I was the best snowmobiler in the bunch. I had no crashes, no upsets, didn't get off track. Had to lead the pack through the danger. But God has given us the power to be overcomers. The Bible says that. And the Bible says in Corinthians that He will never tempt us with too much that we can't handle. He'll give us enough spiritual strength to handle it. And He'll help us get back on track when we get off the track. And you know, in our life, it seems like we're constantly getting on track and off track, and we want to stay consistent. That's the goal. But we can. It seems like some days we're on track and some days we're off. But I want to tell you something. There was a lot of people in the Bible that were on track and off track, but God would always bring them back on. You see, if you're here today and you're off track a little bit, the hope is God can bring you back on track. He can bring us all on track. When I think about David, there's a man that was on track, and then he really was off track. His life, he was a man that loved God and gave God his heart, but yet he seen this woman, and he ended up committing adultery, and to cover up his sin, he killed the wife, or the husband, and covered it all up. But yet God still pulled him back on track. You see, there's hope there. And Samson, I thought about him. He got off track. He was a strong man. He was used of God. But he got off track when he got with Delilah, the Philistine. And she found out his kryptonite. She found out what made him weak. And I was reading, I was laughing a little bit because I thought of Pastor Ken's sermon. But it says in there that she nagged him so much that he got tired of it. And he just told her what his weakness was. He had a sermon a year ago. Maybe he'll preach it again about the drip. But not, and sorry, ladies, I'm not saying anything bad there. Just I chuckled over that. But she beat him down enough that she got it out of him, right? Yeah, we won't go no farther. But Samson, because he gave in to her, she found out his weakness. They cut his hair. He lost his strength. They plucked out his eyes. He lost, you know, everything God gave him. But think about this. When they put him in the jail or in the mill to grind, his hair started to grow. And you know what? You may be here today, and you may have fallen. You may have got off track. But God will bring you on track. The hair can start growing again. And you can begin to pray like Samson did. He prayed to God and just asked him, God, one more time, can I feel your power? Can I feel your presence? And can I feel you in my life? And God's a faithful God. And he restored Samson's strength so that he pushed that temple in and he killed more Philistines out of his sin when he got reconciled than before. You see, there's still hope for us. There's hope for all of us. You see, the biggest key to this whole thing about getting on track is that Jesus was the one that got us on track. When Eve got us off track, mankind got all off track. Jesus came to this world and he died on a cross. And he got us all on track again. He died for my sins, the things that I couldn't change, the things that I couldn't overcome, the things in your life you can't beat, the addictions you can't overcome, the sicknesses you can't do. Well, Jesus came back, and he's putting us on track. If you're here today and you're off track, you just need to get alone with Jesus because he'll get you back on track. We serve that type of God that gets us back on track. To me, that's the greatest message of all, that we have a Savior that gets us on track, that keeps us on target, that keeps us straight. Let's just all stand. I hope this word spoke to your heart. I pray this week you'll go home and you'll analyze and you'll look at the areas in your life that you're off track. And get back on track. How many people here, I'll just want to pray for you, that feel that they're off track and you want God to bring you back on track? Yes, I see these hands. We're just going to pray that. We had a lot in the first service that felt the same way. I know in my life, it happens to pastors too, that we get off track. But we need to keep focus on the mark, the cross. The cross. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're our Savior. We thank you that you came and you got us back on track, Lord. and those that are here that are off track, Lord. We pray for them today that you will bring them back on track. Lord, that they will begin to walk down the trail that's straight, that leads to heaven, that leads to righteousness. Lord, we just pray this over every household. We pray it over everybody that's here, Lord. We pray that you'll continue to move us forward to you, Lord, that we'll press in, that we'll be more inclined to listen to you, that we'll be closer to you, that our heart will be shoved right up against you, and that we'll be hearing your heart for our lives, Lord. I pray that we'll be just keep focused on you, focused on being on track, Lord. Lord, restore the things that have been taken. Lord, the areas of lives that have been stolen by the enemy. Lord, I pray that there'll be healings. I pray that families will be reconciled. I pray that relationships will be reconciled in this place. Lord, I pray that deliverance would fall and that people that are addicted will be delivered and they'll be back on track. Lord, your word says you died for us. And that you washed us clean, Lord. Lord, I pray that everyone here that feels that maybe they are too dirty, that they're too sinful, Lord, I pray for them that their hearts would change and that they would realize that you love the world, everybody. We declare these things in the name of Jesus over this place. In your name, amen. Hope this week you'll... If there's an area in your life you're off track, that you'll get back on track in the name of Jesus. Be blessed.